if the properties are not necessarily developed according to the zoning, is there a process that then needs to go to happen in order to match up with the zoning?
Well, the answer to that is zoning and TIDs are two different animals.
Okay, so...
The TID doesn't relate to zoning, really, nor does the zone. So the nature of your question, if I can just boil it down, is does this area have to be rezoned? The answer to that is yes.
Is there a process that needs to happen for that to happen? Okay, so for instance, in June of 2005, the 27th Street corridor was zoned. TIF 4 is included in the 27th Street corridor. In that, the Wheaton property, or where Wheaton is built right now, was zoned B7. And I believe the properties where the residential are right now was zoned B7. Three months later, an institution comes in, builds on the B7 property on 27th Street, that being Wheaton, and a residential property started on B7 property. So what I guess I don't understand is Alderman D'Andrea said that the increment in the revenues are the same as what they would have been, but it's only because we developed residential that kind of helped that along, I guess, in my opinion. Because you have an institution that's not getting taxed either what they should be now or they won't be taxed, whatever that agreement is. It's the residential that kind of brought that whole entire area to where it is right now, in your words, successful so far.
The residential increment that exists today is less than the residential increment that was projected in 2005.
In 2005, the only lots that were actually zoned residential are the three lots that we're talking about right now.
My understanding is that the northwest corner of the district was zoned residential and the southwest corner of the district was also residential conservancy.
Second part, yes. First part.
It was B7.
Everything was B7 except for the 27th Street plan had everything B7. Then after that plan was adopted by the council, within a month or two, the council adopted a rezone for all those lands to match the plan, with one exception. They decided to rezone the far southwest corner of the 27th Street corridor, RC1.
Which is the property that we're talking about right now.
It's only a portion of the property.
How much?
It's the MLB property and the Garris Hopkins property, just those two.
No, there's the one north of that is, what did
Biller.
You call it? Biller. That's not what's on the information that I...
I can double check. But
if you could double check that? It was on GIS, I guess that's where I got it from. My point is that when all of this was done, within months we were already off course as far as what we were talking about with this TIF district. And that's where I want to go back to the goal of the TIF district. You know, if you're going to give us all this information and then change it within a couple of months, I guess I'd want to know that up front and just tell me. That's where I can't trust this information, because 2 or 3 months after Joint Review Board, CDA, Common Council approved all of this stuff in 2005, it was completely off course. And I don't know if the rest of the council knows this or not. I don't know, maybe they don't care. I don't know. But for me to make a decision. I need to know if the numbers are right. I need to know what the plan is. I need to know, are we planning on rezoning this B7 and keeping it B7 and building corporate businesses? Or is the plan to actually build residential property?
Well, okay. I'll get my head around that whole thing. But
well, you can understand the logic, I would think.
I can't, but
It's
I will.
Zoned residential. We're talking about business. I want to make sure. Have we even talked about this? Has anybody ever told me that this was residential property?
This is. I don't know what you're referring to as residential property. It's zoned B7 mixed use.
The three properties that we are talking about in B, in phase one, are currently zoned RC1.
Okay.
Residential.
And I've been saying since November the 4th, actually before then, that this is going to be a business park of an equal or higher level than our current business park. And saying that, I've been real consistent, haven't I? I mean, even those who don't like me will not up and down, but that is true. I've been saying that publicly. I even said it last Tuesday, or 2 weeks ago Tuesday.
Well, you said it back in 2005 that the...
Well, I believe me, I voted on that. I'm the only person up here that has any experience in that, and I voted for that. I absolutely did. 2005 was a different day. Now, what happened in 2005 was, Alderwoman, was... We went down the path, absolutely. And then in walked Wheaton Francisco. Now you tell me, you want a hospital in your city or not? That's why the plan changed. Plan is simple. Some people will make big subterfuge and, you know, but the truth is that the six members of the common council and the mayor at the time, Mayor Taylor, said, we want a hospital.
And that's fine to want to have a hospital, and I,
but
you know,
it's
a beautiful building.
It wasn't on the plan because it, like most business developments, wasn't told to us until the person who's doing the development is ready for it. Now, having said that, I have no intent. Yes, these properties will need to be rezoned. At some point west of 27th Street, that needs to be changed to business park zoning. And, for those of you who don't trust anybody, also needed to be included in that is design guidelines and the developer's agreement. Yet to be negotiated. Yet to be thought up. Although we do have a template with the business park. Needs tweaks and upgrades. So yes, it needs to be rezoned business park some point west of 27th Street. That's it. There is no place for houses down there. I argue with anybody that says there is. You won't put a house next to a batch plant.
Then why was the decision made by all of those intelligent people to make that the only residential area in all of TIF 4 and, in the way I can see it, all of the 27th Street corridor?
So
somebody was thinking that was going to be residential, and now you, after voting for it, are now saying that wouldn't be anything that I'd ever vote for. That's not anything that I envisioned.
I did not say that. I said I voted for it. I didn't say that I would never vote for it. I said today ought to be a business park. That's what I said. I voted for it. I live up to my vote. I voted for that. There was a thought that that might be a nice spot for residential. You want a residential? We'll make a residential. But then you're not going to get the value out of it that you need in the short period of time we have to conclude this TIF to make up the value.
Have the numbers been done on a residential?
No, because you never know what they're going to put in there. We have, folks.
What do you
folks,
mean?
Let me be real clear. You got $10.5 million coming on the parcel on the south side of Oakwood Road. Needs to be rezoned. You heard at the Saturday meeting, or it was said, I can't tell you what you heard, developer said he has another parcel, 10 acres, ready to go. Dan's nodding up and down. Did you hear that? developer said he's got another parcel, another business who's interested. Not, you know, suspect, prospect, whatever. 10 acres, $1 million an acre, $10 million. You tell me if that's not worth going for. That's half of what we're projecting as revenue, according to some non-expert experts who get airtime. They say we're only got $47 million in increment. Okay, there's half. We use the fake numbers. Why would you do that? Why do you sit here and look for things to vote against as opposed to looking for ways to make it happen? It's our job to be leaders.
What I'm actually looking for are some options that help the whole entire TIF district to develop in a way that will be there for the future, not just for these particular parcels way in the furthest corner from the interstate, from 27th Street and whatever. We were given this option. I'm looking for a different way to possibly use the money more wisely.
I think that's great. Wisdom is in the eyes of the beholder. A pocket of residential just does not make sense to me now.
I'm not saying residential.
Yep.
I'm saying it's zoned right now for residential. I'm asking if the numbers have ever been run with residential to find out what it would be. I'm not saying that I would necessarily agree with it or not. But I do know that the money that's going to be spent here with this plan only benefits those particular lots right now, which concerns me that it doesn't help more of the properties. Because that area needs some serious help, just like 76 Lynn Rossa needs some serious help.
I agree to both statements, absolutely. Bottom line is without the infrastructure that's put in this package, that area will not develop. It won't, because there's no sewer and water. It won't develop. So if we can sit here and tweak and adjust and run scenarios, but the bottom line is without spending at least $3 million for the lift station plus the sewer lines to connect it, that area will not develop. It hasn't developed and it won't develop because there's no infrastructure. So you know, I've lived with this project since 2000, actually 1999. So to have someone want to pick nits with me, I can go all day.
Well, you're always correct me in not putting things out there for the public, and you said there's no sewer and water, and there is. Oakwood is fully watered sewer. I just want to...
Absolutely correct, okay. And it only serves about the northern... less than a third of the property that we're talking about. So, we can get that. At any rate, back to the original statement is, I can't do anything based on the motion that former Mayor Taylor put forward on behalf of Alderman Schmidt. So, I sit here with my fingers crossed. And we can move on to item 3 if you'd like.
That would be great.
Okay, who's going to do this one? Mark.
Mayor Olson, I have family matters I have to take care of.
Okay.
Got to be excused.
Hope all is well.
Thank you.
I'd love to take a bottle of water. I'll take 2 minutes.
Yes.
We'll do it. We'll be back here at 5 minutes. We'll be at 20 after. It is 8:21. We'll reconvene with item 3, status report related to Area A traffic impact analysis for State Highway 36 Lewis Road and West Rawson Avenue and the South 76th Street interchange. Mr. Forks.
So you do have in your packets a memo from Grape that summarizes the TIA process, schedule next steps, and the status of the city's contract for the Area A traffic impact analysis. Also included was the most recent letter that was received from the DOT. It's basically saying that the TIA report is needed and provides details on what they want to see in the study and the report. So Grape will be starting on that, and that's kind of the final step of the TIA process. They got the traffic forecast submitted to the DOT the week of August 24th. They're estimating 6 weeks for the DOT to review those forecasts. And then Grape will have to prepare the draft TIA report, which they can, they're estimating about 4 weeks. And then the DOT, once submitted to the DOT, after the city would approve that draft report, they can submit it to the DOT and they give themselves 90 days to review it. It doesn't necessarily take that full 90 days, but that's their time frame. So basically, 10 weeks from August 24th to submit the final TIA report. That'll take the process into early November. And then 90 days, if the DOT took its full 90 days, give the city an answer by end of January, February of next year. But for the TIA, is that?
This is for finance.
Excuse me, Chris. Let the record reflect that Alderwoman Mayer has left the council chambers at 8:12. Thank you.
I think it was the August 18th meeting, we were told we were out of funding for Grape. So can you clarify that? Because you just said they did more on August 24th.
So that was probably in reference to the initial contract with Grape for Area A, the TIA contract came later. So if there was a reference made, was to the original contract with Grape, which has been fully completed.
Because I guess I'm not understanding the financials on page 18, where it says 100% completed, 100% completed, 22% completed, 38,000 total for 70. They invoiced us for 37,000. What was the total we approved?
70,000.
Okay. So
they broke up the TIA, the scope of the contract, into three parts, which they're showing the 20,000, 12, and 38. That's the total contract for that 70,000, and they're 57% complete.
So $70,000 is the budget, and the invoice is for about 40, so shouldn't there be about 29,000
million? Correct. 70,000 minus 40,239.
Okay, so there is
still.
That's
57% if you divide the two.
Yeah, so there is still some funding remaining for them to do this?
Correct.
Okay, I was really sure we told we were out of money, we need to go back and get another contract.
And I think the confusion there was there was the initial contract for the report, which is why I recently sent a link out to and we'll get printed off for the council members. And then the second contract with the TIA. So there was a reference about the funding. Again, that was just for that original contract, which that work has been completed and the city has paid out that contract.
Okay. So since we weren't able to talk with them, do we know what additional costs there might be in addition to the $29,000, if any?
For the traffic impact analysis, there are no additional costs at this time that they're anticipating.
Okay.
It would only be if something unforeseen were to occur, and then it would come to us.
So the only costs then come in if we want to continue with Gray for alternative designs. That would be the extra. we haven't had a chance to talk to them about. Because have they since gotten back to us since this packet was put together?
You're referring to the alternate designs for the next item on the agenda?
Yeah.
But yeah, let's finish this one first. Fair question.
Well, it kind of makes a difference on how I view this if I know the answer to that. So it's...
It's not known those concepts are going to, how those would impact the diagnosis. But for these properties, I think the need is there, and that's part of the justification to the DOT that the need is there. Otherwise, you can keep the ramps as is.
Well, I guess I'm concerned we're going to do nothing based on the fact that this TIA, we're going to be waiting on that. And what was the total time frame we might have an answer back by?
End of January, early February of next year.
Okay. And that's not for the DOT to make a decision on if they would remove a ramp or not. That's just
no, that is the decision.
Oh, that is the decision.
Yes.
Okay. So in the meantime, from now until January, we'll really be doing nothing, and that may come back, and they may say they're not going to remove the ramp. So that was...
Correct, yeah. I mean, with a development like this, if there's a project, and for any project that would run into a need for a traffic impact analysis, that does or can hold things up, you'd have to wait for that to know the answer to those questions, and this is a typical...
We don't have any traffic analysis on the other projects, right? Just this one because of the ramps.
There will be. It's just the extent of what's being requested. If you're talking about having a project, a development, state highway, they're going to take a look at it, but you may not need the scope or level that is required.
And there was supposed to be a meeting with the state. Our motion was to have Mr. Liberta, who got uninvited to the meeting, give an update. Do we have any update on that?
It was my intent to put a memo in your box that indicates I wasn't part of the meeting, so I'm unable to give an update. I don't know that it was specifically related to these topics. I think it was maybe much broader. But I guess I don't need the memo now.
Updating us on the meeting that took place?
Since you asked nicely, I will tell you. You guys chuckle, but it's, I did have a meeting with State Representative Skoronski and Senator Lozick. Very productive meeting. It was wide-ranging on a number of different topics. One of them included this particular issue. I did ask them for their support. An intervention, I asked them for their help and for them to make contact with the DOT relative to this, but it wasn't appropriate at this time to ask them to jump up and down because they've just gotten the data. And they indicated that at their regular meetings with the DOT district office that they would make it a point to ask specifically about this particular project.
So that was Representative Skoronski. Was there anyone else from the city there?
No.
Okay. I guess I don't have any questions right now that I can think of.
I just do have a comment here. I've been told there's been some comments and issues relative to me holding the traffic count portion of this for approximately 3 weeks. I mentioned this on several occasions that I did that, and I on several occasions mentioned why. I'll do it again. Because this is a retail-focused area, and we have an interest in developing retail goes where traffic is. And And if we had done the traffic study when the Rock baseball season was not going, our traffic numbers would have been diminished. So I made the decision, I will stand by the decision, to hold it for 3 weeks until the Rock had baseball. I as well changed the hours of the study from 3 until 5 in the evening to 4 until 7:30 to take advantage of that specific reason, as well as to take advantage of counting the traffic going north to have the dinner. Alderman Will.
Well, I guess maybe you can help me understand. My thought was, if we're looking to remove a ramp and show that it doesn't have much use, wouldn't it be in our best interest to have a lower count on that ramp? I understand your point. I totally understand your point. But I also am looking at, you're trying to prove to the state that this ramp is not being used, but then the traffic picks up on it. They're going, well, you know, this is getting a lot of use, so maybe we should take it out. So that was the other side of the coin that was all bringing it up.
Well, I understand.
Okay.
I don't agree with it, but I understand, Mr. Brooks.
It's not, the traffic impact analysis is not really looking at the ramps and saying they're underutilized. It's simply saying that you're displacing traffic when you're removing the ramps. So you got to you have to show the DOT you're taking cars, however many, if it's a lot or a little, it doesn't even matter. It's that you're taking however many cars it is, and you're displacing them through other traffic routes, and that's not going to adversely impact the state highway, or in this case, the state and county highway across it. So it's not the number of cars there. It's that you can displace the cars and traffic without those adverse impacts. So it's just, you have to find a space for a new place for the cars, and you also consider then the future peak times depending on the usage you're projecting. So even if there were low numbers on the ramps, much of the traffic impact analysis is based on the projections that the city is showing, so the future land uses on those kinds of ramps. So that's what all goes involved with really in the traffic impact analysis.
Well, I guess the only problem I have with the whole holding off on that is, had this came from the council after the contract was signed, we could have been explained to that, since it's been explained on the record twice now from the mayor's point of view. There's, to, in my mind, it would have been nice to have that knowledge that the contract would have been delayed. And instead of the council makes a motion and expects an action, but then out an update, it just doesn't send the right message sometimes. So I understand the need to do the best for the city and make those decisions. However, there were lots of opportunities other than I found out about it, 3 week delay from someone I probably shouldn't have found out about it from. And that's, you know, doesn't make us look good when we have procedures that run that way. So in the future, if the council makes a motion, I would expect that it would be just a little more timely, or if it's not appropriate to give an update to the council, then I think that's appropriate action request.
Alderman Schmidt.
All this traffic analysis is related to the significance of the on-off ramps of Loomis Road. We're looking at the parameters of a retail district, wouldn't some traffic analysis be just as germane as along Rawson Avenue from, say, 27th to 76th or something, to show traffic impact there that would relate to a retail district, or going north-south on 76th Street? Obviously, I've heard that there's nobody comes to Franklin because they do all their shopping in Greenville. But we don't have any.
I don't know how that's possible.
So anyway, I'm just curious why all our traffic analysis is just focused on the ramps on 36. Rawson Avenue is a very heavily trafficked area too that leads into 76th and Rawson.
Alderman Schmidt. I'll answer. Let me answer this question first. The reason it's focused on a broken laser pointer is that we're looking for areas to maximize. We're looking for areas to maximize development, and if we need money to pay for it, maximizing development, we need new increment. That's accomplished here, to a degree here. Here, this is development. Well, okay, here and here. And in order, again, to get access to these sites and this site, you need to get rid of these ramps. That ramp there and this ramp here. Because otherwise, you have very limited access to this parcel here, essentially making that parcel undevelopable. Similarly, access to this parcel from Loomis Road would be way down here. So in order to make this parcel attractive to retail developers, you need to provide both northbound access to this parcel as well as southbound. Right now, if you wanted to get to this parcel southbound, you got to know back here. That's why we're talking about these ramps and not Rawson Avenue. Rawson Avenue is what it is. It's a county trunk highway. It doesn't require the level of study and the scrutiny that the state applies to their state trunk highways. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The one thing I question, the area A3, basically that the borders of the Stonehenge.
Yep.
Is that even a highly likely place that they would want to see retail development in the backyard?
They being Stonehenge?
I'd look to my good friend Alderman Mayor
and say, when I was Alderman for the district, there was a Target store proposed there. Without Stonehenge being there, the people in Windham Hills were complaining. The reality is, as we all know, there ain't a single place in Franklin where you can have proposed development. It's not going to cause people.
Well, I guess you kind of made the point I wanted to make was A3 was proposed to have a Target store without discussion of removing ramps.
They were going to get access originally. Very flawed proposal from Ross.
And they were okay with that. But I guess I'm not 100% confident that tying everything up into this area based on this ramp is the best way to go. And I'm wondering why maybe we should be looking at A7, what is that, A6? The area that's over by where the Century Store is, the corner. And down further at A8. Those aren't dependent on the ramp.
Okay. Less than 20,000 cars pass here. 28,000 go this way, on this street. 27,000 go here.
Well, the reason why there's nothing to go to, but if you put something there, then the traffic would obviously increase. But why would they go there? The land is empty.
Alderman Dandridge.
They're not. If you build it, they won't come. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Well, that's what we said about 51st and Rawson, and it's a very active corner. You've got the Quick Trip gas station, you've got Sendex, you've got CVS Pharmacy, and everybody said you couldn't make that happen, and it seems to be doing fine.
Let's back up. First of all, I don't object at all to development here or here. Matter of fact, additional conversations need to be had about this. This area here, you know, it's got steep slopes. This is somewhat problematic physically. But again, we're talking retail. And I got to say this a million times because it is one of the primary reasons a retailer locates where they locate. It's called traffic. They want the bodies. That's why we're working here to get these folks able to get into this and this and this and this. And we're also working to get these folks across this mess to go into here.
Do you consider restaurants retail?
Yes. They even more. Because they require table turns in order to pay their bills.
So
and if you don't have table turns, which requires lots of people, you're not going to make it.
I guess the problem I have with using just the word retail is people think shopping. And then you get this, oh, Selfridges there. Mm-hmm. I would be a lot more comfortable if we would call it something like an entertainment district, something that is more appropriate to what we really want there, because I don't think we're looking at putting a bunch of clothing shops there. I don't think that's really the goal here.
Well, I think the goal, back up, what makes all the restaurants congregate around Selfridge? Selfridge. Traffic. Right? Got to have something to draw them there. Well, and yes, I agree. There are restaurants that are destinations on their own. I agree. They're exceptional.
And so is the Rock a destination on its own.
It's like beating my head against the wall. How do you get from here to the pizza joint here? And why would you if you can get a pizza right there? It's common sense, folks.
Yeah, your point is?
My point is there is no need to go leave the Rock to get a pizza at Marco's. There's no need to leave the Rock to go get a beer at Point After.
And there's probably no need to move the gas line that's underneath that property, but we have an expense in the thing to move it, so there's...
I don't see the correlation.
Well, you're talking about no need, so I thought I'd throw in the no need in it. The things that make this project not work are things that we probably need to look at again, because A4 can be attached to it, and you wouldn't really need to be leaving the area.
This parcel right here, if the ramp stays there, and the methane line stays there, yields what, 4.2 acres? Yeah.
And okay. A7?
Well, but you were talking about developing A4. What would you put on that 4.2 acres? I'm doing this on purpose. I don't mean to seem patronizing, but I got to get people thinking the way a developer thinks.
You don't.
You're
thinking. Think seem,
you're properly thinking that you want to take care of your constituents. I'm all for that, but you got to think like a developer thinks, so that you can make the necessary adjustments to achieve the end goal. Now, if you were a developer, there's on this road, I think, Crystal Ridge Drive, 600 cars a day, maybe, except during baseball. Okay. If it's 600, I'd be surprised. How do you get here? You're the restaurant. You want to build a restaurant. Let's do this. I gotta get your mindset changed. If you are gonna invest $2 or $3 million, put a restaurant right there. Mm-hmm. How do you get there?
76.
So you're gonna rely on traffic coming from 76, which is appropriate, it's fine. There's 28,000 cars that come up this way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're going to have to spend a lot of money on advertising because they can't see it.
It depends on how you build it.
They can't see you. The Rock sign's in the way. The topology, that's lower than the rest of it. They can't see you. They can't see you. So
we're not talking about building a one-story flat box.
I'm trying to get you to think about it, right? And why we want to move the ramps. Similar, you're coming north on 76th Street. There's only about 17,000 cars coming north.
Mayor, I understand it's your firm opinion and the consultant's opinion that we should be looking at moving ramps. I voted to look into that. It's not that you need to beat me over the head on that, but I am saying that in the meantime, there are other areas we could look at that aren't dependent so much on the ramps, and you're telling me we can't develop anything. Now, if we go back down where CVS and Century is, there are no ramps down there.
I agree with you.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make, is not all of this is dependent on moving these ramps, but yet we're going to sit till January before we look at anything.
No, I'm sorry that you believe that. Nobody said that, but I'm sorry that you believe that. Because it's not true. Man, I swear to you. The reality is...
Then what are your plans in the meantime for Area A between now and January?
There's some I can talk about, and there's some I can't.
And why couldn't we talk about them to the council?
It's the same story that I told you last time. When a developer asks me to keep something in confidence, it doesn't mean a little confidence.
Well, then we can't. Then you should have a closed session, and you should tell us so we can better make a decision.
Kristen,
you don't have to tell us who the developer is, but you can tell us a little bit more, which helps us make a decision.
I can't. Confidence means confidence. I'm sorry, okay. But that's the way it is.
Okay.
I know for a fact that the gentleman sitting right next to you has had confidential discussions, and he's not going to release who he talked about and what he talked about.
I didn't ask him to say who. What are the plans between now and January?
My plan is to continue discussions with the people that I've had discussions with. And that would lend well to the big picture concept of this area. If it happens, we'll move from that.
When will we show this more to the public? When will we show our concept for possible development that is more to public in a way where we can... This is the longest I think I've ever seen it up on the screen, and there's no one in the audience. It's in the packet, but we never discuss it. We don't tell people what our ideas are. We just say, here it is, doesn't work, Area B. Here it is, doesn't work, Area B.
I got to tell you that we've talked about Area A more than we have any other area.
We try to talk about Area B.
Well, we have talked about Area A.
So back to the original question is, what is the plan from you? Because you got the guy with the plan, the guy in the middle chair there. From now until January for Area A.
Again, in order to get maximum revenue, we need to do something here. We need to get access here and access, better access here.
And your plan to get that is?
Traffic impact analysis and approval by the state to move the ramps.
Which won't take place in final updates until January. So between now and January, what's the guy in the middle chairs?
Again, as I mentioned to you, I will continue having conversations with developers who are interested in this area. And I welcome any ideas from the Economic Development Commission who is supposed to be spirited. So,
but that wasn't a council direction.
Now,
that
I will also tell
direction.
No, that was a motion on November 4th. I will tell you that on a couple of occasions I did talk to Ted Ballastieri about further development here. He's waiting to see what happens in the rest of the city.
I'd like to make a comment that if we don't include these areas, we're going to have a very difficult time financing the costs of this project. We don't have a large enough area because we won't be able to. We won't have the 4-to-1 ratio.
We need increment.
We need increment.
To cover the expense.
Correct. And so, but if I was a developer, I'm not gonna say anything until I know what that TIA is gonna say. Because I'm waiting on the traffic impact analysis first before I'm going to start spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on a development concept. But think of it. I mean, developers just aren't throwing out money fictitiously or foolishly. they haven't gotten in the position that they're in to just say, hey, I want to, they're not throwing out these things at a dart on the wall. They're coming in, show me the numbers, and then I'll make the decision of what I can do.
Okay, so Mark, item four, ultimate concepts and strategies for retail development scenario A and prices from grape, not contract.
So relative to providing prices from grape, being able to look at additional concepts, it was written two main obstacles to being able to have any more than what we have in the packet. Right now, the first being in such short turnaround time, with staff on vacation all of last week and part of the week before, it was difficult for them to put together the pricing. But the second half of that is, without a clear scope of services, it's hard to know what they're pricing. So what I determined is the best way to find out what it's going to cost to look at alternatives was just to get hourly price of them, which is what they could provide accurately. And so that is in the packet. In addition to that, to help begin move that discussion toward the scope of service issue, so that if you wanted to be moving some discussions on aspects, other potential aspects of development of this area, while you were waiting to see the state of determination based on the traffic impact analysis. What we tried to lay out is some strategies to do that. We did compile the input received from aldermen relative to some portions of strategies that we looked at. Most of those strategies were relative to different geographic areas. The other thing we point out in there is that it's not just altering the geographic area that you give you a different alternative. You can also alter the scope of amenities, so play with your costs, play with the degree to which you address project components. That, of course, has been stated many times as some of the next steps for each of the districts you talked about, where the first scope you just sort of throw everything that could possibly happen, and then you start playing with it and pairing numbers back and scaling down the amenities and infrastructure. So that's not a new notion, but that is for any of these areas or groupings of them, one entirely different set of alternative perspective. The other, and this is the one most people initially talked about, is altering the design layout or structure within each individual area. I believe when we spoke with Greg, he noted a personal frustration with, in some of the first pictures he provided, having sort of what he called the bubble area, not having necessarily roads drawn in, and he thought that might have impacted people's ability to sort of conceptualize what could happen, what kind of building and size buildings put in. And that is something they can do with any of these subsections or all of them, and they can provide multiple layouts of potential roads, cul-de-sacs, pass-throughs, connections. So there are a wide variety of alternatives, given that there are 80 parcels in the area, just playing with any couple of them in or out with different road designs can give you hundreds of potential alternatives. Now, many of those alternatives are going to lead to similar results as far as potential land values. Because the goal, and so when they've given alternatives or drawn a picture, the goal is always to figure out how to use it most effectively to make the most developable space. So you do get limited in that degree there. There's only so many different ways you can look at it. After that, you start coming up with ideas that tend to cut the parcel up and get less effective. So what the engineers look at, obviously, is a way to include those design layouts such that they're the most efficient for providing the most developable space. Similarly, within that developable space, you can look at changing the nature of the land uses. You know, meaning instead of just retail, look at a mixed-use building or something with some storefront and residential above, and try to change that evaluation that you have built in. It changes the market evaluation you have to do, but it does change the numbers. And so that was one other way you could look at alternatives. And then we noted there that our focus to this point has largely been on looking at the TIFs, that is the primary tool used throughout the state for big scope development. And you look at all the areas, which was how this project started to jumpstart in the area to the most possible. That's why we have everything on Loomis Road included. But when you look at small developments, you might have wide variety of other economic development tools and incentives, and anything from loan programs to individual TIFs for individual parcels, sit back and wait for a landowner or developer to come and say, hey, I want to leave this and work just with them directly on something. Facade improvements, I mean, there's dozens and dozens of different individual type incentives. That really hasn't been considered to this point because that hasn't been the scope of what we were doing. We were looking at three areas of big picture impact, things that are, you know, have quicker, more dramatic impacts on focus and evaluation than any of those kinds of programs are likely to do. And when you do those types of programs, you're doing them with your own money, whereas when you're doing a TIF, about a quarter of the money. Really able to accelerate that return on investment with your individual investment is considerably smaller than the state has at the moment. But as far as looking at alternatives, you have those five different categories, which are all bullet points in the middle of page 23. So given all of those options and the total number of parcels, total breakdown if you want to group some of those parcels in different areas, and this map is just the zoomed in portion of page 26 in the attachment, I think it's page 26 of your packet, comes right from the memo. If I zoomed out, you can see this is actually that precise memo. What I tried to look at was how you move forward from here. If, as a common company, you wanted to be looking at something between now and then, January and February date, just in case TIA doesn't turn out the way you want it, and it's determined that that's a sort of a dead end. That strategy right now is by the consultants you hired. They told you that that's your best bet, your best economic opportunity to have the impact in this whole area, which is what we told them to start with. But if you're saying, never mind, let's assume if that's going to fail, and we can't do that to affect that whole area, what else would we do? So I've laid it out, and these are, although I had discussions with other staff in doing it, these are largely my approach on sort of big picture groups of what you could do. First one is wait for the TIA, because it will cost you money to look at any other option. And odds are, if the TIA option becomes available, based upon everything you've done and talking about wanting to promote that retail development, if that's your best way to deal with the TIA becomes feasible, you're probably going to end up there, so then you spend, you know, and then would be an effective just money spent. But if you don't want to wait, then you could, and you want to look at some of these options, what I would suggest is you do number two, which is using the appropriation we already have in the budget, which authorizes us to work with Gray, which I believe might include them bringing in their sub through the room for some hourly work as well, potentially, to help us look at some of the potential grouping and talk about them sort of in a brainstorming session so we can narrow it down for you which one you should even bother starting on. Because based upon the work they've done, they could probably tell us, don't think about doing this or this or this here, but if you tried to do this, maybe you could make something work here in that way. I think really bringing staff in with them in a little brainstorming session to give them some ideas that they can then go back and put a little meat on a proposal and come back and say, okay, this one we think is one of your best chances to warrant some further discussion or notes. We can draw you a picture, we can give you some idea of the cost, we can put that together for you. But then we've narrowed it down. You could simply pick a couple from the list in the front that the alderman suggested, or just name a couple in your discussion today, and we could have them put together, scope a proposal right from there, and skip that first stage. But because of the sheer variety of options and alternatives possible, I would think it would be worthwhile having staff spend a few hours with them, just sort of brainstorming, boiling down what are likely to be some alternatives where, based upon the study they've done and the information they have so far, the DuckTales, and if they spend some time to draw up what they're doing, there might be some numbers that you can consider. All that recognizing that they've already told you, the area has some risk to that, meaning it's difficult to make those numbers work because you need to get more access, more undeveloped. So, I mean, they've already told you what your best option is. So we're trying to sort of, we'll be working to try and dig results out of sand that's already been run through the sieve once, but it doesn't mean we can't do that. But that's why I suggest that.
All in all, we're going to do it once.
My hole is punched right through your suggestion of alternatives. I don't know what it says. Right under the paragraph, right under number four, it says he recommends item one and coal punch.
One and four. I believe that. One and three.
One and three?
Yeah.
So it's there? Right under all though.
Yeah, that is a number three, which was at the same time that we begin doing that, although I think beginning those discussions or furthering some of those discussions, I'm sure some already occurred to varying degrees, might be best to have just a little bit more patience since we are in the process of hiring an economic development director. The initial candidate pool has been identified. Interviews are being scheduled, so hopefully within a fairly short time frame, there will be someone who could hit that and the full time to be able to dedicate to some of that stuff. But that would be another step that we would take at this time, is get staff to further those discussions, not only the people who have already come to us, but the other landowner would go to them and say, hey, are you aware that we've been having these conversations, that we have this interest in the area? What have you been thinking with your parcel? Are you aware of this? And just get the, make sure all those conversations are going throughout. That is something that could be done now while we're waiting for the state that sort of plant some of those seeds and get some of the property owner maybe beginning to think, maybe it's time to start thinking about how to make something.
Alderman Mayor.
First off, we talked about the 4-to-1 ratio. I think that the quality of life improvement and some kind of development here has got to weigh somewhere in that 4-to-1. You know, it might not be the exact value thing, but I think raising the quality of life is important for this area. And it's in the Franklin School District. development that's not housing, not producing kids. I would recommend, I would like to make a motion to recommend to the council tomorrow exactly what Mark said about option. I thought it was 2 and 3.
It has 1 and 3 there, and you're down here, and that's 2.
Okay.
Well, no, my recommendation was 1 and 3. I trust the consultant's analysis that your best bet for big scale impact is going to be getting the access there. But if you're not willing to wait,
but I don't
then
wait
number,
that.
The number 2 would be the next step.
Number 2 is what I had marked, and then I got confused with the whole bunch. I would like to take number 2. I think it's wrong to just wait, and then in the end they tell us we can do it, okay, we can move forward. If they tell us no, then we're way behind the 8 ball. I think we need to start looking at our options now, addressing some options to the access and seeing where we can go. So I would recommend number 2. Actually, I'll make that motion.
The weapons bar.
What's that? Tomorrow. I'll make the motion to recommend tomorrow.
The issue I have with 3 is that's ongoing. It should be the mayor and the elementary districts doing that. Alderman. Not that I don't trust my staff. It's just that's what we can pay for.
Having reviewed the options before, I kind of concur with Alderman Mayer that the number 2 seemed like the best one to me. And I think we still have to get a little report on updated with Buxton. Hopefully, if we can pursue one of these, it could help create a little synergy with some businesses that maybe Buxton has identified that could be some inner workings here that to get. It's not going to happen overnight, but at least if we start moving something in a positive direction, who knows? It might be in January.
I guess I'm okay with 2, based on some of the other comments. Yeah, but I guess is Grave too busy to deal with us?
No.
Pat
Chris was on vacation. He's the guy he wants to do
on his vacation to get us this initial piece. All right. The issue, with all due respect, is when we're meeting on a Tuesday, we're still cleaning up for a day or two, and everything we're waiting on Tuesday. That only gives us about 4 to 5 work days to get something done for the agenda for Friday morning. And very little time when things happen one meeting, we say we want it the next week. It's not 2 weeks for us. It's usually about 5 or 7 days. We started on Thursday, found out Pat was leaving, and a conference call in his car on Friday morning. And they worked on this by Thursday, so we could write something on Friday morning. So I stayed up and I wrote it. So.
Okay. Well, my point is, I go on their website, and we must not be very important to them because all of their projects are on their website, except that they're not working for Franklin, apparently. So you know they've got everything on there, but we've had them doing a fair amount of work and paying them, and we're not even acknowledged. So are we just too small to deal with? They had other things going on in Oak Creek. I guess I have a concern with that, and I know at some of the previous conversations that Alderwoman Mayer had some of those concerns. So,
all right. Well, then I'd ask, who would you replace them?
Well, I have a concern with trying to replace them at this point as well. I just, you know, when we first made the selection back in November, we were basically handed a package and say, here, this is what you basically have to vote on. It was all so bundled so tightly that. When separate motions were tried to make, we couldn't make them. So now we have what we have. So I guess at this point we can only make the best of what we have, but I would think that you should express the concerns that, you know, we are a client of theirs as well. And if they're going to highlight every community that we're working with and not mention us, then I'm a little offended by that. And the fact that, you know, you know, you said in here they weren't available, there was on vacation, I understand that, but they've got to have someone who's going to fill in. If something comes up, someone needs to be there to fill in if they're not around.
And that's how we got work product produced when he wasn't there. He met with us, and someone else in the call, that person did the work that led to the memo that's in the packet.
Okay, and then I want to know, is Buxton, does Grafe even know we're working with Buxton?
Yes.
Okay, have they talked to each other? Well, I would think that might be an important link here. I listened to the economic development person who somehow ended up taking over making the phone calls. I couldn't find any record on how that happened, but and we're not having much communication about this. And then, you know,
have we moved on to 5 or are we still on 4? Agendas are made for a purpose. We can move on to 5 if we're done with 4. Are we done with 4?
Well, I just don't know.
Anyone else have anything for 4?
They need to be working together.
Anyone else have anything for 4? Seeing not, we'll move on to item 5, staff's report relating to Bucks. Alderman Wills.
I think it's important that Rafe, this item person, works with the current agenda item person and that they know what's going on. Because how can you have someone who's supposed to be trying to do retailing, you have someone who's trying to bring in retailing, they're not even talking to each other. So, and I'm looking at this map up here. This is, what's up there is A8. This is 50, just this area alone is 55 acres. And the other business park, we were talking about all the money we need to spend on infrastructure. Took out the one parcel. This is 55 acres. That one is 51, and you're spending a lot of money. And the water and sewer is on already here for this one, out on the street.
And the majority of that is wetlands.
I don't have a wetland map. I don't have anything on that.
In your packet, it was given to you back in March. Complete environmental assessment.
There's already a development there. The guy who was making the phone calls on behalf of the city told me, well, we don't have anywhere to send them, so I'm not making any calls anymore. And I said, well, what about sending them over here to Verde Park? And he didn't even know what it was. So how can you have someone making calls on behalf of the city when they saying there's no place for them to go when you got a developer who has water, sewer, building up, looking for tenants?
Who was that question?
What question?
How can you have someone making phone calls?
It's a rhetorical question.
Okay. The person who made that decision is not in the room.
No, I asked the person who you said made the decision. You said, no, we did not make that decision. So
I certainly didn't.
We're unsure on how that happened.
If we're done, we move to adjourn.
We're not. We've got to do the status report updated to Buxton. There is some time element to this. Their contract specifies, 60-day notice?
60-day, correct.
And that 60 days is in 64 days, right?
Yeah, the contract, it's at the annual. So the contract was signed on November 14th, so it's 60.
Mayor.
Aren't they coming to a future meeting to address that?
They've asked for it. I've not agreed to it. There's no reason why they can't. I
just don't want to do it tonight and then. Let's do one or the other.
I'm good with that too. But here's my point. The point I'd like to make about Buxton. They're paying $50,000 or $150,000 for data that's easily generated elsewhere. Or lots less money. As a matter of fact, Grafe offered to do exactly the same service for $3,000. Now, my issue is twofold. One is big picture. The data that we received from Buxton although apparently valuable for other communities, did not take into account proximity and competition to Southridge. Dick's Sporting Goods appeared on the list. If Buxton, and I would have this conversation with Mr. Howell if he was here, and we have it with him anyway, if they were truly our consultant, they would know that Dick's Sporting Goods is negotiating for property in Greenfield instead of sending us. They would know that Tim Hortons is a franchise-driven retailer, and therefore they would have let us know in advance that we needed to track down a couple of potential franchisees before we made the phone call. Similarly, Dress Barn. Dress Barn only co-locates in larger malls.
Oh, we're not even going to get them all in Wayne.
Believe me, it makes no difference.
Okay.
It just doesn't, Kristen. The service that has been rendered by Buxton has been pro forma at best, in my view. Here's your iPad. We'll give you training, which they did. They were cooperative in changing the census data that they derived their reports from, but even doing that didn't help us much. For those of you who don't know about this, their original reports were in census blocks, and a census block would be Greendale to Terrace and a huge data set that included parks and empty space, and it was so big that the data got skewed. I called them on it. They changed the data set to a smaller set, and it worked out better, more to our advantage. It had Wyndham Hills as less value, both income and home value, than my neighborhood, which is not Wyndham Hills. So that's a huge issue when you go to recruit a retailer. It's also an issue when they pull their reports.
He's also done a lot of hand-holding, which probably wouldn't have been part of. They've been letter writing and making calls, and that's not something we would have got for $3,000 either.
Well, okay. Nick, you want to do a high level?
Yeah, I can. Just going back, the process of goals, we've done upstate since February. The starting point for Buxton is to really study the Frank market demographics, and then they select retailers. The EDC have them focus on 76 and Rawson area. So basically, they look at their comparable markets in Franklin and find stores within those markets. The initial goal is to reach out to retailers, try to schedule a time for this city and Buxton to have a conference call to really pitch Franklin and the Buxton findings. So they hope to get a retailer looking at Franklin, put Franklin on their radars for when they are expanding. The next step would be then trying to find or have inviting them to the area to take a look at Franklin. Trying to look at specific sites. So the initial engagement letters were mailed March 31st by Buxton. Staff followed up with emails and the one-page match report that Buxton put together on April 7th. Follow-up phone calls were made by staff on April 30th and May 4th to all the retailers. And then just throughout really May, June, July, staff, and then probably around starting in June, EDC member Matt Haas made attempts to contact retailers, trying to schedule those initial conference calls. So that
the continued outreach through that time really was to some retailers. It's based on the comments we were getting back and feedback from those retailers. Some of the responses we got were, you know, they're not expanding this time, or, you know, they feel we're going to tell them that future. Sometimes it's 3 to 6 months, maybe, you know, one retailer told us a year to get back to them. So, but we haven't been trying to follow up and get those calls together. Most recently, Buxton sent out a letter August 7th. They also provided staff with templates for emails that we got late on Friday, so hopefully this week, next day or two, I plan to send those out. Again, trying to get that conference call set up. We've had one call so far with the retailer. They did seem interested, but they are one that would need to find a Wisconsin owner operator to really sell the rights to Wisconsin for the franchise. The rest of the comments are summarized in the council action sheet. Everything from several retailers commented on being franchisee driven or not expanding in this time. Others have just indicated that Franklin does not meet their demographics or co-tenancy requirements. A lot of retailers like to locate next to certain types of uses, or even they actually have, I mean, specific other businesses that they specifically look for to locate next to. And a few retailers have mentioned either just the competition at Southwood Mall, everything being there, or that they're already hosting their expansion efforts in that area. Most retailers have stated that, you know, the city can check back with them. So really the next step is just to continue to call and try to make contact with these retailers. And then Buxton has mentioned that for year two, they will provide some additional market research and new retailers to recruit. As the mayor said, they did want to come in 17th, September 15th council meeting to provide their own update, and the next payment will be due November 14th.
Okay, council can do is wishes, and I encourage your opinions. I read Mr. Howell's, both of his emails, and I would ask the council take a second look at it, this time with a more critical eye. What you'll see here is an extension of the program long term. We're spending about $2,000 for every name they give us. And how many of those names are valuable? Next year, when you spend another $50,000, they'll give you some more names. But with what value? I look at the gap here. Feedback was provided that they, while they're not interested in expanding to Franklin, they found the information to be interesting and compelling. Well, God bless them. What good does that do us? You read through here. It says, the Buxton information was most beneficial, but they need to identify an owner-operator. Need a consultant that will help us get retailers.
Get the EDC director to do that?
What?
The director hired?
That will be part of their job, yes. Part of their job, yes.
Well, I guess my thought is if they request to come in, they're willing to come here, and before you know, I think we owe it to them to listen to what they have to say rather than just not. Why wouldn't we want to listen? Why wouldn't we?
Okay, in my business, customer doesn't owe me a thing. Except payment for my contract and services. He's been paid. So don't think that he's owed a visit here. If you want to listen to him, I'm good.
I didn't say he was owed. I said he's willing.
No, you said he was owed. You said he's owed. I'm okay with that. But understand, I'm going to ask him some pointed questions. So don't anybody be offended when I ask him, what will Buxton deliver for the city of Franklin that will result in a retailer coming to the city of Franklin in the next 6 months? What will Buxton tell me?
What data will Buxton give me that's more meaningful to us than the information wasn't compelling? But our $50,000 is not for the but part of it. Our $50,000 was to produce some data. And I think we can do better elsewhere for all that's money. So it's up to you guys. But I will ask a very pointed question.
That's fine.
Alderman Schmidt.
The bottom line is that if we allowed them to attend our next council meeting, they'll still be under the current contract, right? Or would we have to renew the contract before?
I'd need the city attorney to take a look at whether we should provide them with notice of cancellation prior to that meeting and whether we intend to renew it. I don't want to pay them $50,000 if we're not going to pay them. And as a matter of fact, quite frankly, in my current iteration of the budget, it's gone. Because again, we had 0.9% growth. Alderman Evans.
I'm not interested in having them come, and I'd rather hear consensus from the EDC as to how they feel things have gone. And also, if the council would like to hear it, give an honest opinion from staff as to how they feel it has gone, it has gone with Buxton. I'd rather terminate the contract and wait for our economic development director.
By the way, ding, 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 Golden Corral in April expressed an interest in the market and desire to connect. Do you know about Golden Corral, Joel? We had one approved on 27th Street.
Yeah.
So, there's...
They met a tank and now they're back.
So what did Buxton do to help us with this? Nothing. Alderman Dender.
Buxton's companies that they're going toward, the national companies, are looking for very high impact, high traffic areas. And right now, we don't have the amount of traffic that they're looking for along Rawson Avenue or 76th Street for any national retailer to come in this area. They're gonna go to 27th Street. They're gonna go to Howell, okay? We don't have the traffic, we don't have the numbers. And you think that we're gonna bring a Golden Corral over here and people are gonna just swarm? Or a Cracker Barrel? No, they don't. Their locations are set off the highway, visibility, so people can go and get back on their route. So, we can go after these national people. We don't have to have Buxton telling us or giving us a phone number. I think for the 100,000, we've already paid for those phone numbers.
By the way, their other big one is Costco.
Yeah, they're on Grange and Moreland.
Well, do you know the company that does the siting for Costco? We didn't know. What did Costco say?
I did not speak with Costco over the years and only the company actually compared to other locations. But I believe it's great.
The report that you gave me said, Costco said that, Buxton, they put us on all of their reports. Check back.
Yeah, so I think that was a conversation I had with
we don't need that. We need somebody to take our story and go sell it. So anyway, so you guys can make a motion tonight. Yeah, motion again. What, anybody else have anything?
Move to adjourn. Second.
Discussion? Oh, there is no discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.